Shalom, this is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and I do hope that you can go back into this week and listen up till today, because we just simply don't have time in the few minutes given us to build where we are now. But we do all the week talk about God as a planner, and He has a great plan of redemption. And when our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, it was a time on His great calendar of redemption. We talked about that and what it means to the church. And now we're going to talk about that and what it means to the earthly nation of Israel. And we looked at Micah, Prophet Micah, yesterday. And we saw that as he's talking to Israel, and Israel, of course, is going to go into a time of scattering, but he begins by giving them hope and telling them that in the very last of the end of days, chapter 4, verse 1, in the end of days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Jehovah shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations will come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the word or the law or the Torah of the Lord shall go forth from Zion, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. The people who are going to go up there to Jerusalem to learn are the sheep nations. And they may or may not know much about the plan of God. They may or may not. They got in on the judgment, on the sheep nation judgment, that they were good to Israel when the Lord came back on his white horse. And he had the nations that were on the earth. There's no sign of a resurrection there. It's the nations that are on the earth. When he had them gathered before him, those Gentile nations, the one crux of the matter was, how did you treat my brethren, the Jews? And so here they are. And for them to learn during this great millennial time, they have to go up to Jerusalem. Now, before that, the Lord says, I will assemble her, verse 6, that halts. I will gather her that's driven out. And I will make her that halts or is lame a remnant. She that was cast forth, I will make her a strong nation. Of course, he's talking about the Jews. They were in diaspora. But he shall bring them back. He shall gather them. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. That means it's going to be an earth forever. You can read about it in Jeremiah 30 and 31. And that the capital of it will be Jerusalem. But there's going to be some hard times until these really good thing comes. And he prophesies to them here about the tribulation time even. And about the woman in travail. And Israel will be in travail at the end of the tribulation time, and then out of that travail there will come forth a nation that is born. And the Lord says that Israel will thrash her enemies, and their substance will come into the Lord of the whole earth. Now that's what he's been telling them in chapter 4. And verse 5, chapter 5. Now we're taking up chapter 5 in Micah. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. In other words, meanwhile. See, we're not there yet when they're all going to come up to Jerusalem. Things are going to be so glorious. Meanwhile, verse 5, gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. He is the enemy. Of course, the enemy he doesn't like this plan for God to bring forth Israel and to bring them back to their land. So he put a siege against the people of God. He put a siege against Israel. He smites the judge of Israel, or the current ruler of Israel, with a rod upon the cheek. And that's Satan who does it. But, here's where we always say, but God. And here is that great prophetic verse about the coming of the babe in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little, among the thousands or the districts of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth, capital He, unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel. This one that comes into as a babe. We say in the manger, actually it was a cave, and probably the little manger part was the hollowed out place where they ate, the animals ate. He will be a ruler in Israel. He is their King Messiah. The first time he's ever mentioned the word anointed one is in the prayers of Hannah, and she calls him the King Messiah. He is their Messiah. He is Israel's King, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He walked up and down through the eternities. He's the second person of the Godhead. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and without him was not anything made that was made. But that one, that Ancient of Days, we sometimes call him, entered according to the plan of God. And of course, the day that he entered earth, he entered the earth of the womb of Mary. The seed of God was planted in the earth. All of our bodies are made of earth. And the womb of Mary, the receptacle of Mary, became the receptacle in the earth of God. His seed in Mary's egg. As much God as God is God, as much man as man is man. But unless you think he was just a babe, no, no. He'd been walking up and down through the eternities. He that walked up and down through the eternities, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, he that walked up and down through the eternities humbled himself and took on the body of a man. He who had walked up and down through the ages, he humbled himself, became a little embryo. He became a little babe in a womb. We've seen those pictures of what they look like when they're about look like a shape of a pea. You know, and he was that. In Mary's womb planted, the Word became flesh and developed just the same way you developed in your mother's womb. And then he came forth of the Virgin. Bless the Lord as we talk this week. And Bethlehem, you're going to be the one that he comes forth and is seen as a human. Now, it's speaking of him, this ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travails has brought forth. He offered them a kingdom. They did not accept the kingdom when he was here on the earth. So he gave them up for a while, but he's coming back to establish that kingdom. Until the time that she which travailed has brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return, the sons of Israel. The remnant of his brethren shall return. They gave them up. God gave them up to the diaspora until the very last days. But in the last days, the remnant that's left shall return. And they shall come as the sons of Israel. Notice that it calls them his brethren. Now you know why over in Matthew 25, at the judgment of the nations, he said, as much inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. He is a covenant brother of the children of Israel. He is their king. Once the Lord said to me, what was the first blood Jesus shed? And I began to think, well, it must have been in Gethsemane when he sweat drops of blood. It couldn't have been over in, unless that didn't count as real blood, and maybe it was when they put the crown on him, or maybe when they beat him. And then the Lord answered me the question. No, he said, the first blood he ever shed was the blood of circumcision. When he was 8 days old, they had the breed, when they do the circumcision on the boy child, and then he enters into covenant. It's a covenant of blood with the Father and with the brethren, the children of Israel. And so his first blood he shed was as a brother of the children of Israel. And he, in verse 4, shall stand and feed in the strength of the Jehovah, in the majesty of the name of Jehovah his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. The picture here in the feeding is, the word has to do with feeding a flock. They've talked about a flock before in this chapter. So he is the king of Israel. He is also the shepherd of Israel. And this man shall be the peace, this man, Jesus, the king, when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread our palaces, then shall we raise up against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men, and they shall lay waste of the land. The Assyrian here is taken by many Bible prophets to be the Antichrist. So the Antichrist is going to come and announce that he's king, but the true king of Israel is going to come. Now I want to draw just in the very last here, as we go on down into the end of this, the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to try to make things his way, and the nations will fight on his side. But then verse 15 says, I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, but really that's the word goyim, nations. I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the nations, such as they have not heard. Now, I want you to look with me at Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. This is, we are told that these will be the words of the Messiah, the Messiah, the anointed one. That's what Messiah means. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. That's what the Messiah, the anointed one, says. To preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now when Jesus fulfills this, and it is made known that he is the Messiah, over in Luke chapter 4, he was in Nazareth at the synagogue where he was accustomed to go. They handed him, they always read the law first and then the prophets. They handed him the predetermined place. He found it, but it was predetermined what would be the reading. God was in that, of course. And he found the book of Isaiah, and he opened the book, and he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he goes right along, right down through, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister and sat down. Why did he close the book? Because that's what he was going to walk out in his lifetime. It was not yet the time. He shut it just before reading this phrase, and the day of vengeance of our God. But now we are coming to the day of vengeance, and that day of vengeance is spoken of in Micah. And he says, after it talks about Bethlehem, after it talks about the ancient one coming, he'll be the king. And God says, I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the nations, such as they have not heard. We are seeing right now the beginning of the judgment of the nations. And we are in a place in God's plan, just as when he came forth in Bethlehem was in a place of God's plan. And what's happening right now for Israel is one thing. We see everything going on around them. And then for the church, we see that we're to take our place, helping him to rule and reign far above all principality. We do appreciate your end of the year giving. Write Box 40, Branson, 65615, or go on billybrim.org and punch donations. Shalom!